Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times. This is for the week of Sunday, September 13th, 2020, and I'm reading the articles on Thursday, September 17th. I'll start with the most recent articles, and this week I'll begin reading the publication date for each article. COVID-19 update. Tom Green County in San Angelo. September 17th, City of San Angelo. 3,522 positive cases reported. 23 new positive cases. 16 currently hospitalized. 66 deaths. 46 Tom Green County residents. 20 out-of-county residents. Brick by brick, San Angelo organization hopes to begin building unity with event. By Elena Edgen, published on Wednesday, September 16th. A San Angelo organization is hosting an event Saturday in the hopes of building a better community, brick by brick. Building Relationships, Increasing Community Connections, BRICC, BRIC, is hosting an event of the same name from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, September 19th at the Bosque on the Concho. CJ Lucky, a BRIC member, published a video about the event and what to expect on Saturday. To the people of the San Angelo community, I just ask that you come with a spirit of expectation, a spirit of excitement, and an open heart, Lucky said in the video. We can take that step together, and we can build community. We can build unity, brick by brick. Event activities include a sand volleyball tournament, a DJ and live performances, putt-putt, fishing, no license required, flag football tournament, social distancing games, first response vehicles, and speakers. The event is free. Proceeds from the tournaments will go to helping a family in need. FTC urges Texas regulators to block Community-Shannon merger. Shannon reports FTC's commentary does not change our enthusiasm for what our two organizations can do together. By Jen Guadarrama, published September 16th. The Federal Trade Commission has urged Texas regulators not to approve a merger between Shannon Medical Center and Community Hospital. The FTC's position, outlined in a 70-page document submitted to the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, is that the merger of San Angelo's hospitals will lead to a loss of competition, resulting in higher prices and harming consumers. The FTC made similar arguments for the proposed Hendricks acquisition of Abilene Regional. Community Health Systems, based in Franklin, Tennessee, announced on April 20th that the company had signed a definitive agreement to sell the 171-bed San Angelo Community Medical Center and its associated assets to Shannon Health System. The company later announced the proposed merger of the 231-bed Abilene Regional Medical Center and 188-bed Brownwood Regional Medical with Abilene-based Hendrick Health System. Changes to Texas state law in 2019 opened a pathway for the merger of the hospitals by trading federal oversight for state oversight, a move supported by the CEOs of Shannon and Hendrick during testimony they gave to the state's Public Health Committee on April 3, 2019. FTC said it performed an economic and labor market analysis of the proposed mergers and stated, "Our economic analyses of the proposed Shannon merger indicate that it is likely to raise substantial concerns that Texas Health and Human Services Commission may wish to consider as it evaluates the merger." The Federal Commission calculated that if Shannon were no longer an option for residents, 58.8% of patients would seek care at Community Medical Center. Conversely, if Community were no longer an option for residents, 70.5% of patients would turn to Shannon for treatment. Shannon and SACMC serve patients from a similar geographic area with similar health conditions, and there are very few nearby third-party hospitals, the FTC noted. These diversion ratios strongly indicate that a merger between Shannon and Community would substantially lessen competition and lead to significant price increases, as well as reduced incentives to maintain or improve quality. Representative Drew Darby, who introduced the changes to state law, allowing for mergers of hospitals in counties with populations of 140,000 people or less that are not adjacent to a metropolitan hospital district, promised in January the new legislation would provide oversight that would negate the FTC's concerns. There would be protections in place for those who live and work in the Concho Valley, that access to care is not diminished, that it does not result in an increase in prices to the consumer, and there are protections afforded by the state, Darby said during an interview January 6, 2020. The Standard Times reached out to Darby's representative Wednesday morning to see if the FTC's position changes his stance on the issue. Shannon, which has 85-plus years in West Texas, said it is acting upon a once-in-a-generation opportunity to combine the strength and expertise of our community's hospitals and reinvest cost savings to preserve and expand access to much-needed healthcare services. The Texas legislature passed the Certificate of Public Advantage, commonly shortened to COPA, law, specifically to enable healthcare decisions to be made at the local level. Shannon President and CEO Shane Plimel said Wednesday, September 16th, in an emailed statement, "We believe San Angelo and the state of Texas know best how to deliver quality health care to our rural community and are confident the state will review our application with that in mind," Plimel said. "The FTC's commentary on the acquisition does not change our enthusiasm for what our two organizations can do together to ensure West Texans have access to the highest quality health care for generations to come." Plimel added that the potential merger has received broad and enthusiastic community support, and "we are confident the COPA we submitted to the state outlines the benefits the acquisition will provide to the community." Nurse wages part of FTC report. Another concern raised by the FTC was that a merger could depress wage growth for registered nurses. FTC staff found that the labor market for registered nurses is highly concentrated before the proposed merger, and that the merger would increase concentration to an extraordinarily high level. The reduction in competition caused by the proposed Shannon merger in the labor market for registered nurses is likely to be extraordinarily high, the CDC found after examining the number of nurses residing in Koch, Concho, Irion, Runnels, Sterling, and Tom Green counties. Shannon said Wednesday it will remain committed to fair and competitive pay for all of our employees as part of our mission to serve the community, and would aggressively recruit talent from across the country. The cost savings we expect to realize from the transaction will allow us to further invest and attract the highest quality staff to serve patients throughout the region, Shannon noted. Will Shannon accept your insurance? The question about whether Shannon would accept more types of insurance has been a constant with area residents. Shannon said, as the hospitals go through the regulatory process, there would be no changes at either organization related to insurance. Once the approval process is complete, Shannon said it intends to honor all existing insurance plans. Patients can receive care at either facility or from any providers in our Shannon network. Patients will be able to continue to see current providers at community. They will be a part of our new Shannon South campus and will be considered in-network for your plan. We expect many patients will have greater access to local providers and specialists, a statement from Shannon said. City officials address concerns about San Angelo homeless under Chadbourne Street Bridge, by John Tufts, published September 15th. City officials addressed concerns about the growing number of homeless people found underneath a major San Angelo thoroughfare during a council meeting Tuesday. On Tuesday, September 15th, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter said she had received numerous complaints from residents regarding trash, public urination, and alleged prostitution happening underneath the Chadbourne Street Bridge at 7th Street, across from the Concho Valley Transit Center. "People are very concerned," Gunter said. "We need action quickly on dealing with the situation there." City Council members aired grievances about the area during an agenda item in which they discussed whether or not to approve a grant of more than $179,000 for San Angelo's homeless program. In June, the city allowed Neighbor and Family Services Director Bob Salas and staff to apply for a grant through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. The application was approved, and HUD authorized a $179,670 to help San Angelo's homeless population obtain housing while undergoing other supportive services, according to city documents. This grant is to assist homeless individuals and families with not only finding permanent housing, but to provide case management for each client to help them navigate the obstacles that have kept them homeless, Salas said. There were as many as 70 homeless people in San Angelo as of January 2020, according to the city's annual homeless point-in-time count. Salas told officials the program would assist up to 30 families per year and that it will add to the city's current rapid rehousing program, he said has assisted up to 40 families so far. We're hoping that our city's homeless will take advantage of the opportunity, Salas said. City can't forcibly remove homeless people. District 3 Council Member Harry Thomas said he reached out to San Angelo Police Chief Frank Carter on what could be done about the number of homeless people under the Chadbourne Street Bridge. We really have to figure out a way to move these people to more permanent housing, Thomas said. It's right there in the heart of the city, within just blocks of where we do business all the time. A spokesperson for the San Angelo Police Department stated officers will continue to respond to reported criminal incidents and welfare concern calls in the area. If an officer is not called to the location, but they observe a littering or another misdemeanor violation, then the offense will be dealt with accordingly, said Public Information Officer Tracy Pitt Fox. Sometimes that means a citation, and other times, depending on the circumstances, the incident can result in arrest. Gunter urged officials to find a solution quickly. This has got to be dealt with, Gunter said. We can make excuses all day long about why we can't do anything, but we've got to figure out a way to get to doing something. We can't ignore this. City Manager Daniel Valenzuela said the city would need to coordinate its efforts between the police department and TxDOT, which has oversight of the rights of way and bridge on Loop 306 above Chadbourne Street, but felt confident officials could respond soon with available housing for those who needed it. After about 10 minutes of discussion, City Council approved accepting the grant unanimously, 7-0. During a later interview with the Standard Times, Gunter said officials are working quickly to address residents' concerns about San Angelo's homeless population. She said forcing homeless people to vacate an area isn't an option unless housing is available. Many citizens in San Angelo have been very concerned about the amount of trash and the activities that are happening underneath many of the bridges on Loop 306 or in other areas of town, Gunter said. The agenda item we passed today allows us to find locations for people to be housed until we can get them jobs or find a facility for them. Up until now, the state has determined that if we don't have a place to put someone who's homeless, meaning a bed to sleep in, that we have no right to remove them from public property, she said. Ordinance prohibiting camping on public property doesn't apply. In May 2017, City Council passed an ordinance to prohibit camping on or at a municipal facility or public rights of way, including sidewalks, streets, alleys, highways, culverts, or any other public property. The ordinance was designed to limit the number of homeless people who were living in a tent city that existed for 9 months under the Houston Heart Expressway near San Angelo Central High School. Officials created a series of exceptions written into the ordinance, one of which stated that the ordinance could not be enforced in the absence of emergency or affordable housing options in San Angelo. The city was once able to rely on the Salvation Army's emergency shelter as a resource for housing San Angelo's homeless population. In February 2019, the shelter closed after officials discovered little grant money had come in for about 4 years. The Salvation Army is no longer available, Gunter said. Today, City Council approved a proposal to allow for some housing of homeless people so we can start trying to move them from public property into a housing situation and hopefully a job situation. Gunter said the city would work with TxDOT on removing trash from the area. She also stated that homeless people who don't want assistance from the city cannot be forced by the city to leave. If they don't want to move, then we can't force them to. I believe this is the situation, Gunter said. We'll have to work through that one person at a time and see how we can resolve it. I don't think there's any one solution for every single individual, but we're going to try to find solutions for every individual. What the $179,000 grant to help San Angelo's homeless will and won't pay for. HUD's total funding obligation for this grant is $179,670, allocated between the projects and budget line items shown below. Continuum of care planning activities, $0. New construction, $0. Rental assistance, $87,840. Supportive services, $75,000. Operating costs, $0. Homeless management information system, $900. Administrative costs, $15,930. Relocation costs, $0. Leasing, $0. Rehabilitation, $0. San Angelo Family Opens Northside Mexican Restaurant by Elena Edgen, published September 16th. A San Angelo family, led by a certified chef with a love of cooking, has opened a new Mexican restaurant in North San Angelo. Offering a variety of burritos and Mexican dishes, Mi Casa Burritos, 2101 North Chadburn, celebrated its grand opening Wednesday. Sylvia Rodriguez, the owner and chef, kept cooking as Anissa Ray Gonzalez, her daughter-in-law, took orders. Rodriguez has been wanting to open a business for a long time, but she's been very doubtful, Gonzalez said. As a family, we kind of motivated her about 3 months ago to just take a leap of faith. Rodriguez has about a decade of experience cooking in San Angelo restaurants, such as Julio's Burritos and Diego's Burritos. We told her, "You've been working long enough for other people. You need to be working for yourself," Gonzalez said. She enjoys to cook, so she cooks with a lot of love. You can taste it. The menu offers a variety of burritos and Mexican plates, such as spicy guiso, which is Gonzalez's favorite. The most common orders Wednesday were chorizo and potato burritos and bean and cheese burritos. The restaurant is celebrating its grand opening with a special for the first month. Two burritos and a soda for $5. There is a drive-thru option for customers. Bringing the location to life took several months of work for the family. They replaced the floors, windows, parts of the walls, and made several repairs. The prep was really hard because the business before neglected the building, Gonzalez said. We took on a big task. The inside, we had to go all over Texas to get this stuff, like the grill and the warmers. Another prep for Gonzalez included preparing her 10-month-old son to stay home with his father instead of her. By 11 a.m. Wednesday, her son had visited twice. People can follow Mi Casa Burritos on Facebook at facebook.com/MICASA Burritos 21. Standoff on Cactus Lane ends in San Angelo man's arrest by Colin Murphy and Paul Harris, published September 15th. A standoff between law enforcement and a man wanted on a warrant has come to an end with the suspect in custody. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office was involved in a standoff with the suspect at a North San Angelo home after deputies attempted to serve a felony warrant in the 700 block of Cactus Lane at about 3:15 p.m., according to Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Christina Lopez. When the deputies attempted to enter the trailer home, the suspect displayed what appeared to be a firearm or a weapon, and a standoff ensued. Negotiations are on the way in hopes of having a resolution soon, Lopez said at roughly 6:40 p.m. Tuesday, September 15th. About 8:25 p.m., the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office released more details on the incident. As the deputies made entrance, the suspect brandished a firearm in a threatening manner toward the deputies, a news release stated. In response to the threat, one deputy discharged a firearm toward the suspect, who retreated further into the home and barricaded himself in the residence. Residents of the area were asked to evacuate for safety, and the standoff included members of the Sheriff's Office, Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Parks and Wildlife, Texas Rangers, and the San Angelo Police Department. Negotiations were ongoing for roughly 3 hours and 40 minutes, during which time the suspect was observed several times in possession of what appeared to be a firearm, the release stated. The suspect walked out of the home at about 6:55 p.m. and was taken into custody. Dusty Lee Large was booked into the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office jail on charges of convicted felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition, possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine, possession of a firearm in furtherance of a drug trafficking crime, and two counts of aggravated assault against a peace officer, the news release stated. Watching our water, City of San Angelo negotiates sale of another portion of Ford Ranch, from staff reports, published September 15th. The City of San Angelo has negotiated the sale of 2,830 acres of the Ford Ranch for a price no less than $1,400 per acre to Neil Tinsley. The deal, negotiated Tuesday, September 15th, is the largest portion yet of Ford Ranch authorized for sale by the city, according to a city news release, which noted the portion of the ranch for sale was dubbed the Lightener Tract. Ford Ranch is a property in Melvin, roughly 11 miles outside Brady, and included 32,841 acres when acquired by the city. The ranch was purchased by the city for about $44 million, or $1,350 an acre. In July, the city was authorized to negotiate the sale of roughly 575 acres of Ford Ranch for a price no less than $1,950 an acre to Adam and Kimberly Essilor. The city also accepted a contract in June for a future sale of 324 acres of Ford Ranch, marketed as the Ford Ranch Farm, for no less than $450,000, or $1,385 per acre, to a neighboring property owner. In March, the city announced the sale of 864 acres in the southeast corner of the ranch to Riverbend, Texas, LLC, and High Point Ranch Expansion, LLC. The purchased land is in the southeast corner of the property. In November 2016, the San Angelo City Council approved the purchase of the ranch, from which the city pumps water from the Hickory Aquifer. Once the ranch was marketed for purchase, the council determined that buying the property was the surest avenue for protecting San Angelo's stake in the Hickory, along with the $120 million investment made developing the aquifer as a source of drinking water. For more information or any inquiries about purchasing land at the Ford Ranch, please contact James King at james@kinglandwater.com or phone 432-386-2821. View Ford Ranch real estate listing at kinglandwater.com/properties/Ford-Ranch. San Angelo woman named CEO for upcoming City Rehabilitation Hospital by Elena Edgen, published September 16th. A San Angelo woman has been named CEO of a rehabilitation hospital expected to open in 2021, according to a news release from Encompass Health. Tracy Watkins, a San Angelo native and Angelo State University alumna, became CEO of the upcoming 40-bed hospital on September 1st. Having extensive experience as a nurse and nurse leader with both Shannon Health and Encompass Health, Tracy was a perfect fit to lead our new hospital in San Angelo, said Frank Brown, president of Encompass Health's Southwest region. Under Tracy's leadership, our team will help patients heal and find hope again through rehabilitative services customized for their needs and goals. She has worked as a nurse and nurse manager in Shannon Health, a chief nursing officer at Encompass Health's hospital in Midland, and part of Encompass's Lubbock location. As CEO, Watkins will oversee the hospital's day-to-day operations, patient care, and quality, according to the release. The hospital will be at 6102 Appaloosa Trail, and offer 24-hour care and therapies for people recovering from major illnesses to injuries. It is scheduled to open for patients in March 2021, according to the release. City of San Angelo declares Hispanic Heritage Month to embrace diversity, by John Tufts, published September 16th. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter declared the city would observe a 31-day period from September through October as National Hispanic Heritage Month in a proclamation she read Wednesday from the steps of City Hall, 72 West College Avenue. It is imperative to embrace our diverse history so that all children can see themselves in our city and nation's past and know that they have a crucial role to play in its future, Gunter said. Music during the Wednesday, September 16th ceremony was performed by the Lakeview High School Mariachi Band. The observation began in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Lyndon Johnson and was expanded by President Ronald Reagan in 1988 to cover a month-long period beginning September 15th, according to the U.S. Library of Congress. September 15th is the anniversary of independence for Latin American countries Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Mexico and Chile celebrate their independence days on September 16th and September 18th, respectively. Gunter said the city will recognize September 15th through October 15th for contributions made by citizens of Hispanic descent to all aspects of American life, including leadership in business, civil service, culture, education, military, ranching, and religion. The theme of this year's observance is Hispanics, be proud of your past and embrace the future, according to a news release. Gunter encouraged San Angelo residents to learn more about the history and contributions made by Hispanic and Latino Americans. The greatness of America can be measured by the collective contributions of its citizens past and present, and our future will be measured by our ability to uphold and instill into others our most valuable assets, our shared culture, history, knowledge, and sense of community, Gunter said. Sonora ISD announces COVID-19 positive case in secondary campus, from staff reports published September 14th. Sonora Independent School District has announced a positive COVID-19 case connected with its secondary campus. Rose Ashenbeck, superintendent of schools, announced via a letter posted to the Sonora ISD Facebook page Monday evening that a person who tested positive for COVID-19 was present on the secondary campus from September 9th through 11th, and it is possible that you, your child, could have been exposed to the coronavirus during that period. The letter stated that the district was in the process of determining who was likely in close contact with this individual. If a person is determined to have been one of those in close contact, you will be contacted directly by SAISD with further direction. While we do not have reason to believe that those who were not in close contact with the infective individual have reason to be concerned, we ask that you, as always, watch for symptoms of COVID-19, the letter stated. Those with questions were asked to call Ross Ashenbeck at 325-387-6940, extension 3001. San Angelo Delivery Service gets Carol Baskin's approval in social media ad, by Elena Edgen, published September 14th. A San Angelo Delivery Service ad featuring Carol Baskin is making the rounds on social media Monday morning. Baskin, the CEO of Big Cat Rescue, a nonprofit animal sanctuary based near Tampa, Florida, was the subject of public attention after being featured in the 2020 Netflix documentary series Tiger King, about an Oklahoma-based private zoo operator, Joe Exotic. Around 9:15 a.m. September 14th, San Angelo To Go posted an ad on Facebook featuring Baskin as she trained for Dancing with the Stars. "Every time I am out in San Angelo, Texas, I want to use the San Angelo To Go," Baskin said in the video. "The local guys are the only way to go when it comes to food delivery." The Standard Times reached out to confirm it was Baskin and received confirmation from Carson Beavers, co-owner of San Angelo To Go. Beavers said he asked representatives with Dancing with the Stars for a local endorsement, and Baskin responded. "She was down for it," Beavers said. "We knew Dancing with the Stars would be pretty big, so we reached out to people who would be in it. She was the only one to reply. Beavers was not sure if Baskin has been to San Angelo and added that the business loves animals. The delivery service added that people should use the code TIGERKING to get free delivery through September, according to the Post. The code can only be used once and is valued at $4.99. Smell Smoke? California Wildfire Smoke Reaches San Angelo Area by Elena Edgen, published September 14. Smoke from the California wildfire could be seen and smelled in San Angelo, according to a Facebook post by the National Weather Service September 14. If you smell smoke, it is from the wildfires in California that continue to stream across West Texas, the post stated. When the sun comes up, you should be able to see the smoke on satellite flowing from California to Texas in the upper-level westerly winds. San Angelo residents could see hazy skies Monday morning, according to Chris Daniels, National Weather Service meteorologist. We are getting some smoke from California and on the coast, which can give us hazy skies weather-wise, Daniels said. The air quality in San Angelo is in the fair range, according to AccuWeather. As the smoke rolls through San Angelo, local firefighters are at the source of one of the blazes. Three members of the San Angelo Fire Department met up with the strike team, consisting of firefighters from Amarillo, Borger, and Wichita Falls, to fight the Creek Fire. Firefighters Santos Chavez and Travis Lee, along with Jade Hughes, an engine boss, left late Friday, September 11th, to join the team. They are working on the southern branch of the Creek Fire, which was 10% contained and burned 212,000 acres near the Sierra Nevada Mountains as of Monday morning. This isn't the first California wildfire San Angelo firefighters responded to, according to Fisher. In 2018, Hughes and Chavez fought in the deadliest fire in California history. Here's an article that has two updates. I'm going to read the original story, and then I'll read the two updates. These were originally published September 11th. San Angelo patient missing from care facility found safe in San Antonio by Elena Edgen. A Texas family has asked the public to help them find a man who went missing from a San Angelo care facility. On Monday, September 7th, Sammy Collins, 24, was last seen in his room in a San Angelo rest care facility. He went missing later that night, according to his family. Sammy Collins is about 5 feet 11 inches tall with brown hair and blue eyes. He is an MHMR patient and has not had his medicine since he went missing, which concerns his family. "I'm trying to keep calm, but truthfully, I'm infuriated," said Ashley Collins, his sister in Corpus Christi. "My brother, he can't take care of himself. He's not supposed to. He's got a lot of anger issues, but I don't think that he would be a violent person." Ashley and Ricky Collins, his father, believes someone helped Sammy leave the facility. "My biggest fear is that something will happen to Sammy," Ricky Collins said. "I'm worried to death about him. All the help is greatly appreciated." The Collins family heard Sammy may be heading toward San Antonio. Ashley Collins spoke with Sammy 3 days before his disappearance. "He seemed like himself," she said. "I'm worried about finding him." ResCare, who the company said reported Sammy missing to the police, has not responded to a Standard Times email asking for more information as of Friday afternoon. Here's the first update to that story. Sammy Collins has been found alive and well, according to Ashley Collins, his sister. "It was a lot of late-night driving, but he's safe," she said. "He's back with my dad now." The family found him on Saturday in San Antonio after a tip led them to him, according to Ashley Collins. Here's the second update. A representative from ResCare's parent company, Bright Spring Health Services, commented Tuesday on what led to Sammy's disappearance. "Our staff was unaware of the client's plans to leave the home on September 7th, said Lee White, Vice President of Communications and PR for Bright Spring Health Services. Upon discovering that he had left via a bedroom window, staff immediately notified local authorities and a missing persons report was filed. In response to what ResCare was doing to prevent a similar situation from occurring, White stated the company is constantly evaluating our policies and protocols. White reiterated that ResCare's priority is to ensuring the health, safety, and well-being of our clients and our employees. He is now back in the care of his family, and we are grateful for his safe return, White said. Here is another story that was published September 11th, which also has an update. Here's the original article. A San Angelo girl has been missing since Wednesday, according to a police news release on Friday. Nevia Robinson, 11, was last seen around 11 a.m. Wednesday near College Hills Boulevard and Sunset Drive after voluntarily leaving a residence, according to the release. She is 5'1" tall, 110 pounds, with brown eyes and black hair, and was last seen wearing a black hoodie and jeans. Police reminded people that harboring a runaway is a misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a fine not to exceed $4,000. Update. At about 9 p.m. Friday, police said Nevia Robinson was located and is safe. Shannon Clinic to host several drive-through flu shot clinics in San Angelo, by Elena Edgen, published September 14th. Shannon Clinic announced it would host several drive-through flu shot clinics in San Angelo starting September 19th, according to a Shannon Medical Center news release. The clinics, from September 19th through September 26th, will be in the Foster Field parking lot at the corner of South Jackson and University Avenue. People should bring their insurance card and wear a facial covering, according to the release. People 6 months and older can get the shot, which is $35 per person. High-dose vaccines are available by request. The clinics will be 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, September 19th, 2 to 7 p.m. September 21st through the 25th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. September 26th. Appointments are not necessary. People can call Shannon Clinic at 325-481-2226 for more information. San Angelo marks 9/11 anniversary with ceremony, by Colin Murphy, published September 11th. Inclement weather did little to dampen the spirits at the annual 9/11 memorial ceremony in San Angelo, held Friday on the 19th anniversary of the attacks. The weather just changed the location to inside the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts, which stands near the 9/11 Memorial Monument. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner said the ceremony represented an opportunity to remember and celebrate the sense of unity felt by Americans after the attacks. We cannot let rain, nor snow, nor sleet, nor COVID-19 keep us from celebrating and honoring all of those who died on 9/11 19 years ago, Guntner said. My concern is, with time, we will forget what happened on 9/11. We as Americans can never forget what happened. We cannot forget the lives that were lost, whether they were first responders or normal citizens who got caught in the towers or a plane on that day. Even though we are not outside today, we are together. We must stick together and unite together. One of the most important things that happened on 9/11 was Americans stood up, stood strong, and stuck together. Guntner also spoke about the need to support first responders. The mayor referenced calls from some activists across the country to defund police departments in the wake of unrest after the death of George Floyd while in custody of police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here in San Angelo, Texas, I am proud to be the mayor of a city who will always support funding our police department and all of our first responders, Guntner said. We cannot overreact, and we cannot react to all of those out there who've chosen to take negative actions toward our first responders. If we don't have law and order in this country, and we don't have law and order in this city, we will never have the kind of quality of life that I believe our citizens deserve. San Angelo Symphony announces 2020-21 season lineup, by Courtney Mahaffey, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published September 9th. For 71 years, San Angelo Symphony has brought world-class music and education to the Concho Valley and beyond. Over the past many months, we have spent countless hours reimagining our season for your safety. We worked together to find new and creative ways to share our music and music education. We are grateful to announce the 2020-21 season of your San Angelo Symphony. And while it may look a bit different, we hope that you will join us in the concert hall to share in the joy of music. This season includes well-loved masterpieces from composers such as Beethoven and Mozart, along with innovative concert concepts, family favorites, and an orchestral performance with one of the best live acts in the business, Asleep at the Wheel. The performances feature music that celebrates our local musicians and also exemplifies the creativity and passion of Maestro Hector Guzman, as well as the San Angelo Symphony Orchestra. Here is what Symphony subscribers can look forward to. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and there's no better way to celebrate than with the Symphony's opening concert, A Holly Jolly Holiday Pops. The beloved holiday performance takes place on December 5th and features local vocalist Patty Wetzel alongside your symphony orchestra, as well as festive favorites and the popular holiday sing-along. It's a sparkling opening celebration, perfect for the whole family. The San Angelo Symphony's big band and five famed jazz performers take the stage for a foot-stomping good time on January 30th. A big band bash and all that jazz features popular big band era music and the sounds of the distinct gypsy jazz rhythm. An energetic concert not to be missed. Features famed jazz performers alongside the symphony's big band. Join the San Angelo Symphony on March 6th for a night in the Murphy featuring two of the greatest composers, Ludwig von Beethoven and Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. The show will feature Piano Concerto No. 21 in C major, showcasing the orchestra and special guest artist Eduardo Rojas in a performance that balances forcefulness, elegance, and wit. Completing our season, the postmodern kings of Western Swing, Asleep at the Wheel, arrive April 17th for a performance with the symphony that will be remembered for years. Winner of 9 Grammy Awards, the legendary group's diverse popular music style, mixed with the lush sounds of your San Angelo Symphony Orchestra, are guaranteed to electrify the audience. Now more than ever, our community needs the arts, and we at the San Angelo Symphony remain committed to keeping live orchestral music available to everyone. Through the San Angelo Symphony's new initiative, San Angelo Symphony Live at Home, created many months ago, we have shared excerpts from past performances through our digital newsletter and on social media. As part of our music and literature program, local musicians perform to elementary-aged audiences through social media and remote meeting applications, providing free access to interactive educational content. The symphony has partnered with the Tom Green County Library System, local bookstores, local and Region 15 schools, and mothers' organizations to further our outreach. In addition, local musicians have recorded therapeutic sessions of music and wellness that the symphony provides at no charge to those in care facilities and nursing homes to help fill that void that isolation can bring. As we look forward to seeing our patrons in the Murphy Performance Hall, we want our community to know that the symphony considers the health and well-being of our attendees, musicians, staff, and volunteers to be our top priority. The organization will continue to follow all health and safety guidelines made by local or state officials at each San Angelo Symphony concert or event. The remarkable programming range and the worthwhile educational offerings that you are able to experience from today's San Angelo Symphony is the product of many factors. Talented musicians, organizational strength, innovation, and last but not least, deep community support. When you become a patron, you not only enrich your musical experience with exclusive subscription benefits, you also help to open the doors of live symphonic music beyond the concert hall. The San Angelo Symphony is happy to announce that we will now offer a digital concert hall experience. This new benefit will allow all 2020-21 subscribers access to recordings of each concert immediately after each performance for a period of 1 week, allowing patrons the opportunity to experience each performance in the concert hall and at home. On behalf of the San Angelo Symphony's Board of Directors and staff, we appreciate your commitment to the arts, your unwavering support of our musicians, and the future of your local symphony orchestra. Subscribe today and experience the joy of live music. It's the 2020-2021 season of your San Angelo Symphony. For more information or to purchase patron or season memberships, call 325-658-5877 or visit our website at sanangelosymphony.org. Courtney McAfee is the San Angelo Symphony Executive Director and can be reached via email at director@sanangelosymphony.org. Here is a unique opinion letter published in the Standard Times, September 12th. Stars and Stripes kerfluffle brings back memories for former reporter and Standard Times editor. Note, this piece expresses the views of its author, separate from those of this publication. By Perry Flippin, opinion contributor, published September 12th. The recent kerfluffle over the Pentagon's decision to kill the venerable Stars and Stripes newspaper took me back more than 50 years. To my surprise and delight, President Trump overturned the Pentagon's order so that overseas military service men and women can continue reading news from home. In 1968, I joined the SNS in Darmstadt, Germany, as a staff writer. Assignments took me to a hospital in the Alps, a commissary in Greece, and a school in Tripoli, Libya. Meat and potatoes reporting. When Count Basie brought his band to Germany, I interviewed him. It gives a link to that report. The Count Basie report is at stripes.com/news/the-count-basie-jump-1.16414. It was old-fashioned newspapering with typewriters and notepads. Ticker machines printed wire news and punched out perforated tape that fed typesetters. No cell phones or computers. Lots of shoe leather reporting, little changed since World War II. The managing editor, Mert Proctor, was from San Antonio. We liked each other. He asked me to cover the Pentagon. Until my Army service ended the next year, I was the Washington correspondent. Most of the world in 1968 focused on assassinations, anti-war riots, and burning cities. But my bride made me forget the civil strife and turmoil. Lots of fond memories come flooding back. Outside my Pentagon office window howled Norman Mailer's Armies of the Night. Inside, Seymour Hersh sleuthed out facts about the horrible My Lai massacre. Both writers won Pulitzer Prizes and forced Americans to rethink our reliance on military superiority. I was oblivious, deliriously in love. Among my first acquaintances at the newspaper was Red Grandy, a prize-winning news photographer. On April 11, 1951, he was near Koblenz, Germany, covering a NATO military exercise led by the top commander in Europe, General Dwight D. Ike Eisenhower. Just before noon, news came to the reporters that President Truman had fired General Douglas MacArthur in Korea. Red wanted a candid expression of Ike when he got the news after lunch. Ike's rubber face scrunched into a quizzical look of, "Well, I'll be damned." Red snapped it. Back at the SNS, editors held the photo, worried that Ike might be outraged at seeing himself in a most unguarded and unmilitary pose. Red argued for its publication and eventually prevailed. The portrait of Ike ran in newspapers all over the world, and the Associated Press honored it as the best news photo of 1951. Years later, President Eisenhower met Red aboard a train through Europe. Reminded about that awkward prize-winning photo, Ike smiled and told Red, "You know, that photo didn't do me any harm." On the SNS newsroom wall was a portrait of a young dog-faced cartoonist named Bill Modlin. He was working for the SNS during World War II, just like Andy Rooney. Malden's caricatures of battle-weary GIs with unshaven beards, muddy boots, and rumpled uniforms were hugely popular with soldiers. General George Patton, however, was furious seeing bedraggled Willie and Joe. He wanted soldiers looking spit-shined and ready for inspection. "Get rid of Malden," he thundered to the SNS editor. When the cartoons stopped appearing, Patton's boss, Ike, took notice and investigated. Quickly, almost magically, Malden's wonderful cartoons resumed appearing on the pages of Stars and Stripes. Patton was mute. Malden's cartoons won 2 Pulitzers, signifying the pinnacle of journalism excellence. MacArthur's giant ego wouldn't settle for his troops reading the Stars and Stripes, so he created his own Pacific Stars and Stripes. Both editions consolidated in the 90s, and SNS still prints on an old press in Tokyo for readers in the Far East. Exercising one's First Amendment right in a military environment is often fraught with tension. In 1968, I flew with the 82nd Airborne Division to Seoul, South Korea. It was a military exercise to assure the South Koreans that we could get there quickly and with force to counter the hostile North Koreans. To watch a couple thousand soldiers parachuting from dozens of C-130 transports is awesome. Afterward, the commanding general declared the exercise to be a success, and he used a Shakespeare quote to calm his Korean hosts. After I filed the story to Tokyo, the general summoned me. "I don't want that Shakespeare quote used in your story," he said, looking at me with his one good eye. "Take it out." I did. Knowing when to pick a fight is crucial to self-preservation. In 1969, I went to the White House for a Medal of Honor ceremony for 5 intrepid combat veterans of Vietnam. President Johnson, with only days left in office, tried to express the nation's gratitude and esteem as he placed the ribbons around the men's necks. He didn't linger to celebrate. It was painful to watch. In my mind, I was back in Austin with the White House press corps 4 years earlier. On election night, 1964, LBJ was triumphant as his landslide of votes rolled in. He shook my hand, beaming, and at least 10,000 other well-wishers. What boundless hope LBJ enjoyed at the beginning, but Vietnam broke him. "I can't win," he lamented to intimates, "and I can't get out." So he quit and retreated to the sleepy Paternalis. One of our proudest achievements came when the SNS learned of an unscrupulous outfit that preyed on clueless service members by selling them shady real estate for $100 down and 20 years to pay. By shining a spotlight on that practice, the shysters left. The Overseas Press Club presented SNS its highest award for public service. Years later, I heard Joe Rosenthal, a retired Associated Press photographer, recount February 23, 1945, the day he sprinted up Mount Suribachi and photographed 6 Marines raise the U.S. flag over blood-soaked Iwo Jima. He delivered the film, but couldn't see a newspaper aboard ship. Days later, an officer flew in and said, "That was a good picture, Joe." Rosenthal said he had taken 2 shots that day, an action photo raising the flag and a static posed photo of the 6 Marines frozen in front of the flag. He wondered which photo was published. On the cover of SNS, he would soon learn he captured the most iconic photo of the war. Today, his photo is immortalized as the 100-ton Marine Corps War Memorial near Arlington National Cemetery. Rosenthal has donated all monies from the photo to charity. Even though the SNS began printing during the Civil War, its financing has always been dicey. In my time, the newspaper operated independent bookstores on military posts. That paid the bills. No advertising. We published a professional, black and white tabloid, chock full of baseball scores, advice to the lovelorn, national politics, weather, cooking features, travel news, and more. One feature we dropped was the Page 3 Girl, an assortment of curvaceous bikini-clad models with come-hither looks. About 30 years ago, the Pentagon let a contractor take over SNS as an authorized but unofficial newspaper. The coverage suffered. The paper shrank. Its website was a joke. Terry Leonard, a Texas Tech alumnus from Tyler, arrived as editor in 2007 after a successful career as an AP international correspondent. He has helped restore the paper's reputation and image. Even though the print edition is tiny compared to days of yore, online visitors record 4 to 5 million page views a month. All SNS publications reach about 1.3 million people. The Pentagon spends $15 million a year to produce Stars and Stripes, less than it spends staying at Trump properties. Leonard said the official orders haven't arrived to cancel the shutdown, but he isn't worried. A majority of both houses in Congress won't let anyone pull the plug on the Stars and Stripes. I am grateful, though surprised, by President Trump's reprieve of my old newspaper. The SNS serves an invaluable mission, giving a voice to military service members and families far from home. Perry Flippin, 76, is retired from a 43-year career in newspapers. He was reared in Tahoka, Texas, and lives with his wife, Sharon, in San Angelo, Texas. And finally, here is the column from Allison Watkins. September, the time to start planning and planting. There's nothing like a deep soaking fall rain to encourage some gardening and landscaping. Now that the ground isn't parched and the heat isn't beating down so hard on the gardener, it's time to get outside and get to work. Depending on your goals and needs, there are a number of tasks to consider starting in September. Pre-emergent needs to be applied to turf grass now if it has not been done yet, but don't apply to newly planted lawns, only well-established turf grass. Pre-emergent in early fall can prevent cool season weeds like rescue grass. It is also time to apply the last bit of nitrogen fertilizer for the year to warm season turf grass to help the lawn come back strong next spring. Irises can be dug and divided now and should be done every few years to promote vigor and blooming and also provide rhizomes to share with friends. Early fall is also an excellent time to dig and divide daylilies. Pass-along plants are such a treasure to have in the landscape and can be a nice reminder of the friend or family member that gave it. If you would like a nice pop of color in the early spring, purchase spring bulbs like daffodils now, when they are available, but hold off on them until November. Planting in warm soil causes the bulb to rot. Another way to plan ahead now for spring color is to plant spring wildflower seeds like bluebonnets. Next month, the monarch butterflies will make their way through the area on their annual migration. It's a good reminder to plant butterfly-friendly plants to provide nectar to help them on their way. Many culinary herbs provide the double benefit of being good for pollinators and also good for cooking, and fall is a great time of year to plant many herbs. Parsley and cilantro are cool season herbs that do best planted now and will grow through the cool season. Evergreen herbs like rosemary, sage, oregano, and thyme are also great choices. When it cools down a bit more in October, plant garlic cloves. Replenish mulch in planting beds to help prevent evaporation, moderate soil temperature, prevent weeds, and more. A 3 to 4 inch deep layer of wood mulch really helps plants grow better. Finally, plant cool season vegetables like beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, Swiss chard, collards, kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, mustard, radish, and spinach. Cool season vegetables are beautiful and can work well in landscape beds to bring fresh greenery to the winter landscape. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.